Blog Talk Radio.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, in child forever I am.
Steps to Christ. Chapter 4. Confession. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. The conditions of obtaining mercy of God are simple and just and reasonable. The Lord does not require us to do some grievous thing in order that we may have the forgiveness of sin. We need not make long and wearisome pilgrimages or perform painful penances to commend our souls to the God of heaven or to expiate our transgression. But he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. The Apostle says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed." James 5:16. Confess your sins to God, who only can forgive them, and your faults to one another. If you have given offense to your friend or neighbor, you are to acknowledge your wrong, and it is his duty to freely forgive you. Then you are to seek the forgiveness of God, because the brother you have wounded is the property of God, and in injuring him, you sinned against his Creator and Redeemer. The case is brought before the only true Mediator, our great High Priest, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, and who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and is able to cleanse from every stain of iniquity. Hebrews 4:15. Those who have not humbled their souls before God in acknowledging their guilt have not yet fulfilled the first condition of acceptance. If we have not experienced that repentance which is not to be repented of, and have not with true humiliation of soul and brokenness of spirit confessed our sins, abhorring our iniquity, we have never truly sought for the forgiveness of sin, and if we have never sought, we have never found the peace of God. The only reason we do not have remission of sins that are past is that we are not willing to humble our hearts and comply with the conditions of the Word of Truth. Explicit instruction is given concerning this matter. Confession of sin, whether public or private, should be heartfelt and freely expressed. It is not to be urged from the sinner. It is not to be made in a flippant and careless way, or forced from those who have no realizing sense of the abhorrent character of sin. The confession that is the outpouring of the inmost soul finds its way to the God of infinite pity. The psalmist says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Psalm 34:18. True confession is always of a specific character, and acknowledges particular sins. They may be of such a nature as to be brought before God only. They may be wrongs that could be confessed to individuals who have suffered injury through them. Or they may be of a public character, and should then be as publicly confessed. But all confession should be definite and to the point, acknowledging the very sins of which you are guilty. In the days of Samuel, the Israelites wandered from God. They were suffering the consequences of sin, for they had lost their faith in God, lost their discernment of his power and wisdom to rule the nation, lost their confidence in his ability to defend and vindicate his cause. They turned from the great ruler of the universe and desired to be governed as were the nations around them. Before they found peace, they made this definite confession: "We have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." 1 Samuel 12:19. The very sin of which they were convicted had to be confessed. Their ingratitude oppressed their souls and severed them from God. Confession will not be acceptable to God without sincere repentance and reformation. There must be decided changes in the life. Everything offensive to God must be put away. This will be the result of genuine sorrow for sin. The work that we have to do on our part is plainly set before us. "Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 15. Paul says, speaking of the work of repentance, ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11. When sin has deadened the moral perceptions, the wrongdoer does not discern the defects of his character, nor realize the enormity of the evil he has committed, and unless he yields to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, he remains in partial blindness to his sin. His confessions are not sincere and in earnest. To every acknowledgement of his guilt he adds an apology in excuse of his course, declaring that if it had not been for certain circumstances, he would not have done this or that for which he is reproved.
Amen. Amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining us this evening on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. God is good and he is worthy to be praised. Amen. So we'll start with a word of prayer. Kind and loving Father, we thank you this day, this holy day of preparation that you have set aside for us because you know that we needed a day to rest. The Sabbath, Lord. We thank you for this preparation that we have made or that we're making. We ask you to keep us from falling and present us faultless. Forgive us of our sins or transgressions. Help us, O Lord, to be obedient. Help us to serve you with all our hearts, our soul, and our mind. Help us not to lead unto our own understanding, Lord, but to acknowledge you in all our ways, not just some or a little bit or the Sabbath, but to all, in all our ways, help us to acknowledge you. Help us to go before you and talk to you as a friend and ask you, what do you think about decision? What do you think about things that we're doing? And help us, Lord, to listen, be still, and know that you are God. Father, we ask that you will help us to be holy as you are holy and you're looking for holy people, Lord. We cannot do this within our own strength, so we're asking for strength from you. We're asking for wisdom, understanding. We're asking for knowledge, Lord. We're asking for peace and comfort, Lord. We're asking for protection, not only for ourselves, our brothers and sisters, our family, our friends, our neighbors. Oh, Lord, those at the church, Lord, those that we meet on the highways and the byways and all that we have passed out books to, oh, Lord. All the other prayer line that is praising you and doing the work that you have called them to do, Lord. Let us not be in vain, O Father, but help us to reach your children throughout the world, Lord. We thank you for those that are in Canada, Japan, South Korea, China, Australia, wherever they may be, the United Kingdom, Lord, England, wherever they may be, Lord, we thank you for them. The Caribbean, Lord, we thank you, O Father, for each and every one that will tune in or those that will listen to the rebroadcast. May you bless them abundantly, Lord. Create in us a clean heart, O Lord. Help us, O Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Again, good evening, brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining this evening. Such a pleasure to have my brothers and sisters on the prayer line to come and give praise to God, to testify of his goodness, and to glorify him, not with our body, basically, not with just something, just to glorify him the way we dress, talk, what we do, and, of course, our character. Amen. I would like to share this Sabbath reading from, I believe it's Christian Health, page 577.3. It reads, to eat on the Sabbath the same amount of food eaten on a working day is entirely out of place. The Sabbath is the day set apart for the worship of God, and on it we are to be especially careful in regards to our diet. A clogged stomach means a clogged brain. Again, a clogged stomach means a clogged brain. So we cannot think or function when our stomach is clogged and we're not putting the right food in it. Continue. Too often, so large an amount of food is eaten on the Sabbath that the mind is rendered dull and stupid. Yes, it says dull and stupid. Incapable of appreciating spiritual things. The habit of eating have much to do with the many dull religious exercise of the Sabbath. The diet for the Sabbath should be selected with reference to the duty of the day on which the purest, holiest service is to be offered to God. One more paragraph, and it says, eating has much to do with religion. The spiritual experience is greatly affected by the way in which the stomach is treated. Eating and drinking, according with the law of health, promote virtuous action. But if the stomach is abused by habits that have no foundation in nature, Satan takes advantage of the wrong that has been done and uses the stomach as an enemy of righteousness. Did you hear that, brothers and sisters? Satan uses the stomach as an enemy of righteousness, creating a disturbance which affects the entire being. Scarce things are not appreciated. Spiritual zeal diminish. Peace of mind is lost. There is dissension, strife, and discord. Impatient words are spoken, and unkind deeds are done. Dishonest practices are followed, and anger is manifest. And all because the nerves of the brains are disturbed by the abuse heap on the stomach. Wow. This is a counsel to each and every one of us. We have to take heed. As this pen of inspiration said, we have to be careful what we eat on the Sabbath, not to overeat and just to eat to, don't live to eat. I'm sorry, don't eat to live. I'm sorry, don't live to eat, but eat to live. And we ought to glorify God with this body that he has given us, and we ought to put good food in it so that we can be healthy and strong. Amen? Praise the Lord. And I just love this reading, and I was a sister had shared it, with me, but she didn't say what page, and I found it. So I just thank the Lord for leading me to this reading. Please press 1 if you have a testimony, prayer request, scripture reading, song of meditation. We want to start early so that everyone can get a chance to share. The speaker will be on time, so this is the chance, brothers and sisters, to share your testimony, scripture reading, prayer requests. I know throughout the week we've been praying for the same individual, so we probably also thank God for these his blessing. We also thank God for his goodness and mercy. Instead of asking him for something over and over, we just have to thank God for hearing the prayers that's throughout the week. Amen. Because we know God hears us and he answers us according to his will, which is to glorify him. Amen. And to help us heavenwards. Amen. So I will go ahead and open the line for the caller that has pressed 1. I believe it's Sister Leola, 225-337. Happy preparation day to you, my sister. Your line is open.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. I would like to just share a scripture. First, I want to thank the Lord for his Saturday. Oh, mercy. I am so happy that this day has come. Oh, this is the day most of the time I go to bed early. So I just want to give God praise. I want to give him thanks because I've been moving about this week, and I'm kind of exhausted. So God be to glory that he has brought us to another Sabbath day. And I tell you, it is such a blessing to be on here on the Sabbath Eve to worship and to praise him and sing songs. I would like to sing a song near the cross later if you have time. But I want to read Hebrews chapter 4. What a powerful, it coincides with the Exodus chapter 11. So let us read Hebrews chapter 4. And I won't read the whole thing, Sister Carla. I know we have time. So let me get to it. And I just want to thank the sisters and brothers that we all come together and worship on this Sabbath day. And guess what my book says? God's rest. So let us begin. It says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. Any of you seem to come short of it? For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith and them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place, again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth, some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached, enter not in because of unbelief. Again, he limits a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long of time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Is there remaineth therefore a rest to God? To the people of God, because I want to make sure I'm reading this word for word. For he that is entered into his rest, he also had ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of the unbelief. So, Sister Carla, as I read this, I rush to make sure that, you know, hey, I got to cut it off. I have to be ready at this time. So I'm just thankful that God is in me, you know, and just like he's working it in me to be more perfect. And brothers and sisters, this is a work. This is the exercise we must work at. Just like Sister Carla was telling us, we got to exercise these things. God is giving us a long time. And, you know, and I'm blessed. God has given me another year. So we are exercising all these blessings God's given us, the rest, the eight law, the health, all these things we must exercise. So I just want to thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line and that I can share that. And I'm asking a prayer. I want to thank God first for seeing my son yesterday. I was praying, Lord, let me see him. Let him. And guess what? He was walking towards me as I prayed that prayer. And I said, Lord, thank you. And I just want to thank God for allowing me to see him yesterday. And I didn't have to take a long time to find him. So thank God. And God bless and happy Sabbath to everyone. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Leola, for reading and for sharing. And praise the Lord that, you know, as you said, you saw your son. And I know it's when we hear from our children or we see them, our hearts is filled with joy knowing that they're still here. There's still a chance for them if they're, you know, not going in the right direction. There's still hope. So we also always lift up our brothers and sisters in our private prayer, or the children and, you know, the community, the world as a whole, you know, that the Lord will be done and that people will turn and seek the Lord while he's near. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Please press 1 at this time so that you can share. Happy Preparation Day, brothers and sisters. It's been a tedious week, but I thank the Lord for everything, for each and every one of the experience I had this week. I had a regular client, but 2 days I went to the hospital because I'm certified to sit with, you know, DHS, you know, children, you know. And there was a young lady, 16, she's done so much, you know. And I guess she was on suicidal watch because she was in a psych ward. And, you know, it's just talking to her and hearing her story, ran away, gun, drugs, and everything, you name it. And I'm like, Lord, have mercy. And as I was talking about the food we eat, how it, you know, how it has to do with our stomach and our nervous system, you know, and there, every minute they were eating on something, and mostly sweet, sickle, ice cream, and, you know, she couldn't, like, sit down. She just keep, you know, talking to the nurse, just back and forth talking, and it's just like her nervous system was just, you know, out of whack, and she said she haven't slept for 2 days. She's, mind you, she's been there for 15 days. They're trying to find her a placement. So I just, unspoken prayer requests. I don't want to say her name. And also a young man, the day before I went to sit with him, and, you know, they're doing MRI and different tests on him because he has seizure and different stuff. And most of these people have received that inoculation and, you know, whatever else is going on with them. You know, he came out of a bad home, you know, again, charges with gun, and he's in a group home or something. And I just like, Lord, have mercy, knowing that I have a child, you know, that age. And, you know, I just encourage them, and I talk to them about the Lord. So I just thank the Lord I was, you know, able to engage with them and talk to them and tell them about Jesus and how they need to prepare. So praise the Lord. Every opportunity I get, I try to share the love of Jesus in some way or fashion or form so that these young people can know about God. And, you know, like the young lady looked at me, she said, yeah, she's a woman of God, and, you know, whatever else she said. I got to be careful what I watch, and, you know, yeah, but we got to keep these youths in prayer, brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Please press 1. This is sharing time, brothers and sisters. Please press 1 if you would like to share. Just want to welcome Sister Katie. Thank you for joining us. I just want to thank the Lord for her and for her family, her 2 grandson and her son and the baby mother. We just have to keep them in prayer. So praise the Lord. So I see that we're still waiting on others to join us, but we have a few on. So please press 1 if you would like to share. If not, I have a reading that I would like to share. Amen. It's a part of a devotion. Amen. It says keeping love alive. But this one, I read a part of it yesterday, but it's so powerful. It said, the happiest people do not think that when you walk with Jesus, you must walk in the shadow. The happiest people in the world are those who trust in Jesus and gladly do his bidding. From from the lives of these who follow him, unrest and discontent are banished. They may meet with trials and difficulties. Their lives are full of joy, for Christ walks beside them, and his presence makes the pathway bright. So we want Jesus to walk beside us so that our pathway may be bright. Amen? And in Psalms, trying to find the chapter right now. Psalms chapter 119. Psalms 119. If I turn there again, if there's anyone who would like to share, please press 1 so that I can open your line. Psalms 119 and verse 105. It says, okay. 105. Okay, I'm right. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Amen. So we know the word of God, light. It's a light unto our feet. It shows us where to walk, how to walk. You know, how we ought to conduct ourselves, and it's a light unto our path. It shows the way heavenwards. You know, the narrow way. Give us light and show us the way to Jesus. So I just thank the Lord for his blessings. I thank him for his grace, his love, for each and every one of my brothers and sisters. Let's see. And it continues. It says, I'll drop to the bottom. It says, heavenly intelligence are waiting to cooperate with human instrumentals that the world may see what human beings may become through a union with the divine. Those who consecrate body, soul, and spirit to God service will constantly receive a new endowment of physical, mental, and spiritual power. The inexhaustible supply of heaven are at their command. Christ give them the life of his life. The Holy Spirit puts forth its highest energy to work in mind and heart. Through the grace given us, we may achieve victories which, because of our defect of character and the smallness of our faith, may have seemed to us impossible. Possible. To everyone who offer himself to the Lord for service, withholding nothing, is given power for the attainment of measureless results. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me see if anyone has pressed 1 again, my brothers and sisters. Please press 1 if you would like to share. I think Sister Leola have a song that she would like to share. You can share 2 standard of the song, Sister Leola. That will be great. I'll open your line. Amen. Can you hear me, Sister Leola?
Okay. Yes, I can hear you. Okay. Jesus, keep us near the cross. There's a precious fountain, breathe to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my wrath your soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There's a bright and morning star, sheds its beam around us in the cross, be our glory ever, till our raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. So it's called, I like to do the last one if you don't mind. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hope and trust in ever, till I reach that golden stream just beyond the river. In the cross, be our glory ever, till I wrap your soul shall find rest beyond the river. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that song. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line to share this, just to let our sisters and brothers know. Near the cross, there's a precious fountain. That's Jesus. Jesus is talking to us day and night. He says, free to all, a healing stream. Oh, blessing, bless the name of our Father and our Savior. Flows from Calvary Mountain in that cross. So thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. God bless everyone. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful. Thank you, Sister Leola. Beautiful song. I miss you and your husband singing. Brother Ray, tell him, you know, we miss him singing on the prayer line. He has a beautiful voice, and I like when you guys sing together also. It's just beautiful. So thank you again for singing and sharing that song, In the Cross.
Amen. We're going to try to get
thank
brother
you.
Back. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, if there's, I don't see no one else has pressed one. We still have a few minutes, so I will play this song, Because He Lives. And you know, because Jesus lives, we are here. We're able to move and have our being, you know, because He lives. Okay.
I call my assurance that I can face a certain day, because He lives, because He lives. I can face tomorrow, because He lives. All fear is gone, because I know the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross that river, I'll fight my fight, no war.
Okay, I'm sorry. My computer is acting up. Okay, I'll see if anyone else have a testimony before we go into prayer. Is there anyone else who would like to share before we go into prayer? Please press 1 so that I can open your line. I just want to welcome each and every one of my brothers and sisters this evening on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. I am Sister Carla, and I am your host this evening. I just want to welcome you. We have a great message that we will be hearing this evening by Brother Ricardo. Amen. And this is a part 2 message of 3 measures of meal. The 3 angels message hidden in the 3 measures of meal. And if you missed part 1, it was powerful. And I still haven't got a chance to get the recording, but, you know, God has just been blessing us. We have been learning. We've been striving, growing on this prayer line, and we're just, you know, blessed each day, especially on preparation day to come and listen to meat, you know, message at our meat. It has meat in it, no milk, you know, something to chew on, basically, something to digest and to search our Bible and search the Word and pray and ask God, is this me, you know, is this I, and afflict our soul and ask God to help us that we may surrender all to Him. Amen. Again, is there anyone else who would like to share? Please press 1 before we go into prayer. Please press 1. I'm hoping that we're not having a problem with the button, because sometimes people press 1 and, you know, it doesn't show up. So I believe someone else has pressed 1, so I'll go ahead and open the line for 518-951. Happy Preparation Day. Your line is now open.
Good evening, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. This is Sister Powell calling from sunny Jamaica. I just want to give God thanks, health, strength, and for allowing me to be on. We know it's not Sabbath day, but we just want to thank God for all the things that He has been doing in our life. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. And I just want to encourage my dear beloved sister that we are on this line 3 days per week, and God have been blessing, as my dear sister just said, have been blessing this line. Every message that I've presented on this line is a blessing, and I just want to thank God, you know, that we are all here to learn, especially the health message, because we know that, you know, God have given us the health message. And a lot of us and a lot of even church brothers and sisters, they reject the health message. We know the Sabbath also message is very important. And a lot of us not following the commandment of Christ to honor the Sabbath. When it is, we do our own thing. We chat, you know, our own language. We, you know, we do all manner of things, you know. So this line here that God have presented to each and one of us is a learning for us to go and teach others about God's goodness. So I am so thankful for all the brothers and sisters who come on this line, sacrifice themselves, give up themselves, you know, that they can come and to share God's word. My dear beloved sister and brother here, I'm telling you, the harvest is right, but as we may know that the laborers are few. I have a lot of praise report, and this I am not going to keep prolonging too long, but my praise report, my dear beloved, is our lunch project for the children. And we have this lunch project every Wednesday, both the church and the community, you know. And my telling you this, I saw God working. People who, you know, never even know about the project. Since I came and I introduced them to the project, we had actually a full house, and the children and their parents came out, and I was able to have a little Bible class with both children and parents. And, you know, they are so glad and rejoicing to know that, you know, they have a little session that they can come and get a meal and also get the spiritual food, you know. So I'm asking my dear beloved to continue to lift children and parents, that what they have learned, that they will go and also share with others, and they will accept Christ as their personal Savior. Thank you, Sister Carlo, and happy Sabbath when it comes. God bless. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that praise report, Sister Powell. So wonderful to hear your voice, as you said, from sunny Jamaica. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And the program that you're doing there, you know, it's a blessing. And, you know, I know You haven't been there in, I guess, what, a year or two, and you're back to help the people and to, you know, bring in the sheep, so to speak. So thank you again for joining us, Sister Powell. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Lord, did you want to pray, say a word of prayer?
Sure.
Okay, pray to the Lord.
Yes,
thank you.
I will.
Amen.
Okay, you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yes, my dear. That each one of us can bow our head and whisper a little word of prayer, giving God thanks for what he has done. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortress of glory divine. Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We, your children, come before you to give you thanks and praise for the blessings of the week, the 6 days that you gave unto us, Lord, and that we went out toiling. Some of us went to work. Some of us went to do our various tours, and you brought us back home safely so that we can worship you, Lord. We just want to thank you. We want to thank you for health. We want to thank you for strength. We want to thank you for food, shelter, clothing. And most of all, we want to thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word, your present truth, Lord, that you have given unto your people for this time, Lord. And as we have studied your word, we thank you to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit guide and lead us and bring back things to our remembrance that we can hear. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the many souls, Lord, that you have allowed us to witness to, especially this Sabbath, Lord. There are some says, Lord God, bless this day every day, and you can worship. But, Lord, when you study with them and when you show them the love of Christ, Lord, we thank you through the Holy Spirit that they accept your word and your truth. So we ask you to pour your Spirit upon those who we hear your words to. Tonight, dear Lord, we ask you to cover each one under your blood. The speaker, dear Father, we present him to you, that the words that he brings, Lord, will be new bread from heaven, and our soul will be blessed, Lord. We ask you all the prayer requests, Lord, that is offered to you. You know everyone, every name, every situation. These names have been offered to you, Lord, Brother Eli, Sister Tamika, Sister Leola, Sister Carla, Sister Brother and Sister Richardson, Brother Judy, Sister Brendan, Brother John, the children, our Lord, and all the others, dear Father. You know them. And those who listen on the internet, Canada, Kenya, Japan, and United States of America, we lift them up to you. We ask you to pour your blessings upon us tonight, dear Lord. And anything, Lord, that you see within each and every one of us that should not be, we ask you to remove it from us. Fill us with your sweet Holy Spirit. Bless us and keep us, Lord. And we lift up our young people to you tonight, Lord. Bless them, Lord, so that they too will be blessed and willing to share your word. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell, for that prayer. And I would like to offer a prayer for you. Let us continue praying, brothers and sisters. God is good, and he's truly worthy to be praised. And I just let us continue to bow our head. As in Ezekiel chapter 36, starting at verse 26, it said, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgment and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And we said amen, and we thank you, and we accept that, O Lord. We thank you for your promises. They are true. They are new, O Father. They are refreshing unto us, and they are a blessing. If we're receiving it, we're obedient, and we accept you as our personal Savior. You said, I go to prepare a place for you, and where I am, I want you to be also, Lord. Help us, O Father, to be patient. Help us, O Lord, to come to you each and every moment we get and to cry out to you, to take away the reproach, whatever it is, take away the sickness, take away the diseased mind or the body, O Father. Take away the sinful nature that is in us, O Father. Help us, the unspoken prayer requests. I lift each and every one of them up, Lord. And I thank you for your servant, Sister Paola. I thank you for the work that she's doing. Oh, Lord, we praise you. We just glorify, we magnify your name. In her age, in her 80s, she has more strength, more faith than many people, O Father. And we just thank you for having her in the midst of us, O Lord, and showing us the work is not for the strong, it's not for the faster, but just to those that endure, Lord, the race and the work, O Father. And we just thank you for the mighty work that you are doing there in Jamaica, Father. May others see, Lord. May souls come to you because of the work and the faithfulness of Sister Powell and each and every one that participate, that give a donation towards this project, and that share in the responsibility in helping these children, these families in Jamaica and throughout the world, Lord. We ask a special blessing on Sister Powell and each and every one, O Lord, that come in to the meal program, Lord. We also ask that you will bless the speaker. We thank you for Brother Ricardo. Touch him right now as he comes before us, O Father. Fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Bless his household, his wife Samantha, Lord. Be in the midst of them, their marriage, O Father, that they will continue to trust you, O Father, and not look to the left or to the right, but look up for their redemption right now, even ours, Lord. We present our family, our children, again before you, our friends, our neighbors, even our enemies, those that despise us and don't like us and trying to use us or kill us, harm us, Lord. We ask that you will have mercy on them and they turn from their wicked ways to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I will go ahead and open the line for Brother Ricardo. Again, I just want to thank those that are joining us for the first time. If you're new to the prayer line, welcome. Thank you for joining us. Amen. And Brother Ricardo? Your line is now open.
Thank you so much, Mr. Carlo. May the Lord continue to bless your faithfulness. Happy Sabbath, everyone, as well. Welcome. Faith is another way. The Lord has brought us on our way. Even though we are not worthy of it, but you can see God's love still on us because we don't deserve it, but he kept us in spite of what we are going through, in spite of the difficulty and obstacles throughout the week. He kept us so we can spend time with him. This is his hour, so let us go into prayer. We need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Father in heaven, we come before your presence. This is not my hour. This is not our hour, but this is your hour. We come boldly before your presence. Come to hear a word from heaven. Many are afflicted. Many are full of sorrow, O God, but you have given us the gospel, Lord, to bring relief and to restore your people in these last days. I'm asking to touch my lips. Let angels like excelling strength to draw nigh to each and everyone who on this prayer line, wherever they are, oh Lord. You know our address individually and collectively. Lord, though we are weak, but you are strong. We are asking for your power of your anointing. Touch our mind and speak to our heart. Let me not say my word, but let me speak a word to your people. And when it all be said and done, we pray that we all will say it was good for us to come on this prayer line. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so, amen. We're going to do a continuation of the three angel message. The three angel messages are hidden in three measures of meal. And when God gave us this message was hidden from the world. But we realize that these messages, we are not seeing them. They are not popular in the Adventist church no more. Many Adventists, they are getting baptized. They do not know the movement or the history, this faith of what we have, of what we believe. So these messages, they are hidden in three measures of meal. Why? Who are they hidden from? Because God called us as a people in these last days that the Protestant churches reject the message. And he called us in these last days to give the message. But Seventh-day Adventists, they don't love, we don't want these messages no more. We want new light. And many, we see we are on different issues, side issues. But the woman of God in early writings, page 63, paragraph 1, she said, I saw a danger that the ministers are running from the important points of present truth and are dwelling on subjects that are that is not calculated to unite the flock and to sanctify the soul. What the woman of God said? I saw a danger that what the minister are running off from the important point of what present truth. That's a big danger right there among Adventists. Because do you know that the woman of God also said in Testimony for the Church, volume 6, page 61, 1900, and Evangelism, page 229, paragraph 4. The woman of God said, present truth is to be our burden. What the constitution say, friend? Present truth must be our burden. Because a lot of Seventh-day Adventists, they don't have a clue that the first, second, and third angel message, especially the third angel message, either the third angel message is sifting out and also sifting in. Many names are being rejected and many names are being received. The third angel message, brothers and sisters, he is the sealing message. Fearful is his work and awful is his mission. He is the sealing angel that is binding and selecting the wheat from the tear. So this message is supposed to be God's secret burden. This message is supposed to burden you. Even when you go to your bed, you're dreaming about first, second, and third angel message. Dreaming about it when you eat, when you walk on the highways and the byway, when you go up, when you lay down, and when you raise up. This message is supposed to burden you, friends, till you can see Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, in the heavenly sanctuary, pleading on you and I behalf. He sent this last message. And if we reject these message, friends, woe unto us. Jesus said, I will send my angels, and they will gather the wheat from the tear. These messages he was talking regarding his disciples, because he said, many things I want to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. Why are these angels, they are hidden? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Go there with me quickly. We want to know why these messages, why are these messages we not being, them not being heard no more in our church in these last days? Because Seventh-day Adventists, we do not appreciate the truth. Why Seventh-day Adventists, we are not being persecuted? Because she said the church, we conform to the ways of the world. We want to preach like the Babylon. We want to tell stories in our sermons, but we are told preach the word. Let Jesus be uplifted. Let Jesus be seen and his word be uplifted. You and our opinion mean nothing. Many of God's people, they are afflicted. They are ready to commit suicide. Children being disobedient. Mothers don't know what to do. But they want to hear a word from God. They want to hear a word. Many a time, T.D. Brooks says, I want back my church. The ministers, they say, so a little bit of time, they occupy with the worldly stuff, and they spend a little bit of time in the word, and when they come before God's people, they have little bit of substance. They cannot arouse the church. Why? Because the ministers are sleeping, and when they come to preach, you are preaching to a sleeping church because you yourself, you are asleep. And that's why we see many of our people in the church, 40 years, 50 years, 15 years, 25 years, and unconverted. Brothers and sisters, we need a message to prick us, to cause us to weep before the porch and the altar. Why are these messages hidden? What God said, but as it is written, I have not seen the first angel message. I have not seen the second angel message. I have not seen the third angel message. I have not seen what Jesus is doing in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. I have not seen that God the Father said, cut them down while they clamber at the heart. These people draw nigh to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. Cut them down. But Jesus said, one more here. One more here. Let me go dig all of those things out of their heart. But why are these messages hidden? But as it is written, I had not seen nor hear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his what? His spirit. For the spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Brothers and sisters, we need to pray for the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, like never before. Because the God wants to give the Holy Spirit to you and I, like never before, more than parents want to give their child gifts. We need to ask for the burden of the Holy Spirit. Friends, what are these messages hidden? These are the messages that brothers and sisters God given to us, but Seventh-day Adventists, we don't love these messages. So the Jews crucified Jesus. The prophet says, so we have crucified these messages. But God said, woe unto the leaders, for you have scattered my sheep. You have seen them, and they are dismayed. But God said, I will raise up shepherds in these last days who will feed my people with knowledge and understanding. Not their knowledge, not their theology, not their philosophy, but the knowledge of who God is. Fear of God is the beginning. Knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. Brothers and sisters, we are not here. I'm not here to play with God's people. I'm here to get you to get ready because Jesus loves you. Jesus paid all for you while he on the cross. Dying in agony, in pain for you. You and I are supposed to be on that cross. But Jesus takes you and I place. Brothers and sisters, heaven is too cheap to lose out. Too cheap to lose out. Let me show you that these angels, they are the sealing angel. And brothers and sisters, you better pray that your name be in heaven. You better pray that your name stay in the book of life. Go with me to Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 to 28. Go with me. I pray these things may arouse you in these last days and say, Lord, help me because I want to see your face. Matthew chapter 13, 24, 28. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. While man what? Sleep. While we are sleeping, while we are get distracted with side issue, when we are called to preach these messages, brothers and sisters. Let me read a quotation for you. It just comes to my mind. Testimony for the Church, Volume 9. Quickly write this one down. Testimony for the Church, Volume 9, page 19. We are told, in a special sense, Seventh-day Adventists have been set in the world as a watchman. As a what? Watchman and light bearers. To them has been entrusted the last warning for a perishing world. What? To them has been what? Entrusted the last warning for what? A perishing world. On them is shining wonderful light from the word of God. Brothers and sisters, what we are studying, no other denomination on the planet of this earth have such a message. On them is shining wonderful light from the word of God. They have been given a work of the most solemn import. The proclamation, what is this word? The proclamation of the first. What is this word? Second. What is this word? The third angel message. There is no other word of so great importance. Pause. What? What is Seventh-day Adventist work? First, second, and third angel message. Because when you're talking about the first, second, and third angel message, you are dealing with sanctuary message, righteousness by faith, early and latter way, health message, just reform, Sabbath reform, and all of these things. And don't forget heart reform, because our heart needs to be converted. There is no other work of so great importance. They are to allow nothing else to absorb their attention. What? Pause. The woman of God say there are many precious truths that contain in the word of God, but it is present truth that the flock need now. But Seventh-day Adventists don't want no present truth. We tell that present truth. We need some more light. But she said, because we need more light, what is going on? I saw a danger that the minister are running off from the important point of present truth and are calculating on subject that is not calculated to sanctify the soul. Pause. What is the purpose of present truth? To sanctify your own soul. And what else? To unite the flock. Why we are at variance with each other? Because we are running off from the important points. We are running off from our duty. Let us continue. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 13, verse 26 now. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tears also. Mercy. So the servant of the old soul came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had it tears? Pause. What caused, so, brothers and sisters, we have more tears in our church than we now, because we are going off from the important points of present truth, because the present truth weed out all of these things. Either the present truth going to cause it to be a weed or a tear. Because these messages, they're supposed to sift you to shake up and shake off all of these things and get in line and fall in line on the rock and be broken or fall out of this message. But we are told if you do not want to preach this message, it better you sever your connection from this message. Or the better you will not be born, just like Jesus said to his betrayer. It was better for not that man to be born. So woe unto him in the last day. Sister White saw in vision, she said, many of our leaders, many of us who look up to these leaders, and we think we are just present truth, but you are just a feeling good message, cotton candy message that cannot arouse you. You feel good, and after a while you forget. You do not make a deep impression upon your soul and see your need for Jesus Christ, to see your need to make your calling and your election sure. Jesus, I will raise a shepherd after my own heart. After he was own heart. Greatest enemy of our church, those who God picks. And pride gets to our mind. Pride gets to us. Think we know so much. We get so smart. We get so wise. But Jesus, thank you. For you have not revealed this unto the wise and to the prudent. But you have revealed these truths to the babe. Who will Jesus teach these truths to? Who will he teach doctrine? Who will he make to understand these things? Them that are weaned from the best, from the milk, and drawn from the breast. Are you one of those who Jesus wants to give these revelations? Go with me. Look with me now in verse 28. He said unto them, and the enemy had done this. The servant said unto him, Will then thou that we go and gather them up? This is not our work. This is the third angel message in order. We have to give these messages in order. First, second, and third angel message. Many people only preach second, third angel message on the second, but they don't want to preach the second angel message or the first angel message or the second angel message. But I will show you and read these things in a hearing that we must teach these messages in their order, first, second, and third. You can't have a third without a first and a second. Amen? Amen. So now, let me read an early writing for you now. Early writings, page 88 and 89. I saw a little company traveling a narrow pathway. All seem to be firmly united. Pause. What's going to cause these little companies to be united, friends? Present truth. Remember in early writings, page 63, paragraph 1? Present truth, going to what? Unite the flock. Listen again. I saw a little company traveling a narrow pathway. All seemed to be firmly united and bound together by the truth. What? Bound together by the truth. In what? In bundles or in companies. Said the angel, the third angel is binding. Who is binding these? Who is binding? So these people you see who are firmly united in the truth, in bundles or companies, right? What is going on? This is the condition now. The third angel is binding or sealing them in bundles for the heavenly garner. Brothers and sisters, if we don't have these messages are going to help you and I to get ready so we can see Jesus Christ. These messages help you and I. By faith, we enter into the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary under these messages to see where Jesus is at right now. You and I have a pending case. We can't lose out, friends. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay in the Word of God because the time is coming. If you don't have the Word of God, the trial that's going to come, the trial is going to show you if you are playing Christian all these years or you are spending time at Jesus' feet. Go with me now, chapter 13, verse 40 to 41. I'm going to compare the scripture with a quotation. Then we'll go back where we left off last week. Matthew chapter 13, verse 40 to 41. Let me just go to verse 39 so you can get a better understanding what is going on. The enemy that sold them is the devil. The harvest is the hand of the world, and the reapers are the who? Angel. Pause. We just read earlier. She said, the third angel is but binding or stealing them in the bungle for the heavenly garner. Listen to what the Bible says now. The enemy that sold them is who? The devil. The harvest is the end of the world. So pause now. Because remember, Jesus is sowing and the enemy is sowing seed. Because remember now, the seed is the what? Word of God. Luke chapter 8, verse 11, Jesus said, the parable is this. Luke chapter 8, verse 11, Jesus said, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So look, what is what's going on now? The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of this world. And the reapers are who? The angels. Who are these angels? Are these literal angels? Are these symbolized the three angel messages? Yes. Verse 40. As therefore the tears are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Pause. Who going to be burned in the fire? The tears. Burned with what? The seventh last plague. All right? Let me read one more quotation for you. Early writings, page 188. Early writings, page 188. Listen to this now. I then saw the third angel. The woman of God just said what? I then saw the third angel. Said my accompanying angel, fearful is his work, awful is his mission. Mercy. What? Fearful is the work of the third angel, friends. Awful is his mission to bring to the whole world, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God. Awful is his mission. His mission is awful. This is not a pity party. This is not a playful thing. Brothers and sisters, this is life and death. Your soul, salvation depends on this message. Fearful is his what? Work. Awful is his mission. He is the angel that is to what? Select the wheat from the tear. We just read the Bible. The servant said, did you not sow good seed? When is it that come tears? But he said, leave it alone. For the wheat and the tears must grow together. But Seventh-day Adventists, we get so dumbed down in these last days. What we see is sin, but God said, no, the wheat and the tears are supposed to grow together. No, pause. Pause right there. Do you know that if you are saying that, you are a sister to Babylon Falls? When the woman of God wrote this statement, she said, we are in danger of becoming a sister to Babylon. Why? Of allowing our church to become corrupted. Pause. So if you see sin and you say you ain't going to say nothing, you are a sister to Babylon. From the time she wrote that, what year we are living in now? So if brothers and sisters, you see our message is fearful? Brothers and sisters, pause. In Ezekiel, talk about when the Bible says, when God said, go and seal, right? Do you know if you are a coward, you will not be a part of the 144,000? The 144,000 are those who die on the third angel message. They're going to stand up for God. They're going to call sin by right name, even in their own life, even in their own children, even in their own circle. They ain't going to play with sin. They're going to call it by right name and call you out and even expose you, because the Holy Spirit comes to reprove the world of sin. If you have the Holy Spirit, you're going to hate sin in all its nature, friends. We must hate it. Ask God, say, Lord, make me hate even my own sin. Make me even hold the evil things that I've done, even my very thoughts. Hate sin, friends. Fearful is this work and powerful is this mission. You can't say you're professing, say you believe in third angel. Are you dabbling with sin, playing with sin, compromising with sin, sliding with sin? No. Awful is this work. Fearful. This angel is going to bring fire and brimstone upon you. This angel is going to cause you to stand on your feet when you think you're looking at Jesus. This is the God that we are waiting for. No, your eyes are going to burn out in the socket while you're standing up on your feet. Your tongue that you use to profess the name of Jesus will burn out of your mouth, friends. This is the message that God gives unto us. That's what God said. I will raise up shepherds up to my own heart in these last days to teach my people. To teach my people that you are standing between life and death. Seventh-day Adventist. Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be in a better position than you and I. Nineveh, the wicked city of Nineveh, going to be in a better position than you and I, friend. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming. Get ready. Get ready. Oh, I even preach to you sometime. I even weep and say, Lord, I speak to your people, but Lord, how am I? I don't want to preach and talk to your people. Many are being converted. Many are seeing their sins and making their calling and election. But Lord, please don't let me be a cast away. Please, friend, pray for me. Pray for me. A great responsibility upon my head while I'm speaking to you. Pray for me, please. Let me remain faithful. Let me not compromise. Please pray for me. Let us move on. It is the angel that is to select the wheat from the tears and to seal and to bind the wheat for the heavenly garner. These things engross the whole mind. Mercy. What? The whole attention. The whole attention must fix upon these things. What are you telling me, my brother? So you're telling me these messages that are going to bring on the wrath of God. Because when Jesus stand up, mercy. Mercy, no mercy in yet there will be no more mercy. Do you know a lot of people are saying that the law of God is do away with? Do you know why you think that when you sin, when you violate the Sabbath, when you want to cook on the Sabbath, you don't cut down by a lightning. Your hand don't turn into leprosy right there, because Jesus stands between God and man. Jesus is the one that interceding on your and I behalf. When Jesus never on the scene in Moses' days, when Jesus never on the scene in Nineveh, when Jesus never on the scene in Sodom and Gomorrah, when they sin, God cut them down. When they come up against Moses, God caused the hurt to open, even their children who are innocent. God don't play, friends. Imagine you and I today. It's better for you and I not to be born. God opened the Red Sea and to deliver his people. But we are told we have nothing to fear for the future. Expect we forget
certain day in Adventist, we forget our message. We don't have nothing to do with our message. We change our music. We change our dress. We change our eating and all these things. But while you are singing another song, while you are just and behaving like the world, I will be like Daniel, there to stand alone, there to have a purpose and make it known. Friends, God don't call you to be a friend with the world. Everyone who wants to be a friend with the world, you are an enemy of God. Even though you are keeping the Sabbath, you are an enemy of God. Friends, a remnant going to be saved out of a remnant. Let us go back into the word of God. The Holy Spirit, bring me somewhere else. But God, thank you so much. Please don't let me be a castaway. Please don't let me be a castaway, oh God. Friends, please, please pray for me. You see, great man in Sister White who have the message, the poor man who preach righteousness by faith, early and latter rain message. Whoa! When I read these men, they experience, friends, or powerful, they preach the message. Are you telling me these men will not be saved? When I look on the 12 disciples, Judas, follow Jesus. Judas, see when the leopard be cleansed, the blind see, the dead raised. Jesus see, the Judas see all of these things with his bare eyes, friends. But you and I, we read upon these things and we believe. Thomas, when this master rose from the dead, he said, let I see. Let I put my hand in his side and touch him. But Jesus said, blessed are the eyes who not seen, but believe. He's talking about you and I. Friends, do not let no one take your crown. Do not let no one cause your name to remove from the book of life. Jesus have a new name for you. Some of you may get a name from your parents, but you don't like that name. But Jesus said, don't worry about that. Some of you may have your name and sin scar your name. People ruin your reputation and all these things. But Jesus said, don't worry about that. I will give you a name better than sons and daughters. Better than sons and daughters. I will, Jesus said, don't worry about that. I will bring you to the unfallen world. Seventh-day Adventists, you are a special people. You will not be like the multitude that no man can count. Seventh-day Adventists, you who under the third angel, Jesus wants to show you all to the unfallen world. No one will do good here, only you alone. The same disciple that you see in Jesus, in a circle, close to him. Those who have this last message, they will be so close to Jesus. Even if you die, faithful and sealed, friends, Jesus wants to raise you up. And Jesus will show you off. Just like you have your children and they're doing well in school, you feel good, that's good. But imagine Jesus' righteous boasting, Jesus' righteous love, and said, these are they. Which get the victory of our sin. These are they who proclaim his name. These are they who follow the Lamb, whichever he goes. Can you imagine that the one who created you gonna brag, gonna boast? Do you remember Job? God said, what do you think about my servant Job? See that there is no land one like him. See that you have blessed him. See that you have blessed Seventh-day Adventists. See that you have put an edge of protection around them. Even though they do not deserve you, even though they slack up on the Sabbath and they say, oh God, understand. See that you have put an edge of protection around them. But go and touch them. Pause. The National Assembly are going to prove God going to remove the edge of protection from around the photos. Lord have mercy. Brothers and sisters, speak like Seventh-day Adventists. We talk like Seventh-day Adventists. But when your high priest stand up, woo unto us. Some of us must be our mouth going to drop wide open. You can't even close it back. Because our eyes, what we are seeing, we're going to be shocked. Right now, friends, the power that be in saying that we must get used to eating humans. Because, brothers and sisters, do you know a trouble is coming? A trouble is coming that you and I can't even anticipate, friends. Brothers and sisters, if you're not in Jesus, do you know that if you have a wife, you may start eating your wife? Because they're gonna cause this famine. They're going to cause this shortage of food that you can't even buy or sell no more. Do you remember the children of Israel? It was the famine was so bad, they was eating their belts. They was eating their shoes. They was eating the wild grass. Some of us don't want to eat vegetables. You better start eating your vegetables. You better start going out there and plow that ground, because if you are lazy and you in the country and you don't want to plant your food, woe unto you, because you may be the substitute for your neighbor, or you going to want to eat your neighbor. This is what the power that be is saying. Brothers and sisters, these things in the Bible, two women come together and say, we will eat your son. I will eat my son today, and tomorrow we eat your son. And they boil that child and eat him. Fearful is his work and awful is his mission. He is the angel that is select and by men. Friends, Jesus love you. The power that be give you all these troubles, the power that be will cause your heart to faint, and you start worrying, you have migraine, and you can't find a job. Pause. This power that be that you can't see, and all of these people, this shadow government and all of these things, if you are faithful, just remain faithful. Jesus will show you all things. And these people are going to be, they're going to be burned in front of your eyes. And when Jesus tells you heaven, he's going to open the book of records. Jesus is going to show you, say, God, why do you call so-and-so to walk out of my life? I do this because so-and-so was causing you not to see me. So-and-so would cause you to go to hell, but I have to allow this even though it's painful. Oh, Lord, I understand. Lord, why my daughter or my son is not here? But Lord, I used to raise up, train up a child in the way of the Lord. But Lord, I have done this. My daughter, my son, you have done all you have. You can. I do all my best. I go send them message, send them dreams. I give them all of the opportunity. But Lord, I understand you are faithful in all you do. None of us will accuse the Lord, because when he starts to explain to us, he will show us all things and we will understand all things. And when the 1,000 year finish, we will visit back this earth. Everyone whose name is not in that book, they will raise up. You think you have a big screen TV yet? You think you have a flat screen TV yet? You can talk to it. God will cause the heaven to cause the scene of Jesus, friends. All the wicked people, all the Seventh-day Adventists, former Seventh-day Adventists, and all these people, friends, who fight against the cause of God, fight against Jesus, fight against his people, and kill them. God will let the sky show the scenery of Jesus. Even the demons, even Satan and his angels, that time when all of them get the opportunity to see that Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. He is the one that comes to save man from their sin. He is the one that they killed on Calvary Cross. And when that thing time happen, when that happens, even Satan, everyone will bow. Everyone will bow, even though Satan won't worship. Even the power that be Rome won't worship. Even Rome themselves will bow. And when they bow, friends, those fires from heaven will come down and consume. Satan can't disappear. These fire friends, they will consume everyone. Every residue and God will clean this earth for you and I. Are you in that number? Jesus will cause everyone. God the Father will cause everyone to see when they crucify your Savior. And none of us will be able to cry when you see a loved one or far Gulfix. None of us will cry when you see a great-great-grandma who are doing all of these things. Those who do witchcraft and all of these things, sell out their soul for money and fame and doing things and secret things, you will not cry. Because remember, Jesus showed you the book of records. Are you in there? Is your name there? Brothers and sisters, let us come back to the word of God. These messages were presented to me as an anchor to the people of God. Those who understand and receive them will be kept from being swept away by many delusions of Satan. Pause. The three angel message, this message that was given to Seventh-day Adventists, they are what are anchors to the people of God. And many of us, we are not anchoring this message. If you are not anchoring this message, what's going to happen to you? You're going to fall under a strong delusion to believe a lie. Why are these messages hidden? Who are they hidden from? Let me show you now. Go with me to Genesis. Let me show you now, because I want to show you something. The Holy Spirit, God, bring this back to my mind. I'm going to show you now, because remember, I'm going to show you type and anti-type. Do you know that the first, second angel message comes, the first, second and third angel message come on the scene in Abraham's time. And we see a scene in what's going on. Who of the angels left Abraham and go to Sodom and Gomorrah and visit Lot? Pause. That time. Two angels what? Visit Lot. That is the first and second angel. In William Miller days, if you understand our mystery, if you are reading this step to Christ, no, if you are reading early writings on Great Controversy, the history of our movement, how many messages William Miller received? William Miller was preaching three messages. The sanctuary message, first and second angel message on Jesus' second coming, right? That's the first and second angel message. Let us prove it from the Bible. I'm going to show you something. Go with me to Genesis chapter 18 now, verse 6. So let's get to the point. Some of you were here last week. Genesis chapter 18, verse 6. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah represents the church, and said, make ready quickly three measures of meat, fine meal, knead it, and make cake upon the heart. Remember now, what you do? Make ready quickly three measures of meal. What are these three measures? Milk, butter, and honey. What are these three measures? Milk, butter, and honey. Right? Those of you never hear last week, just catch up. Let me give you a little rundown first. Let me backtrack a little bit because we may have somebody who never hear last week, but let me just give you something. It's good to do a little recap. I hope I don't lose my thoughts. All right. All right, go with me. For those of you who never hear last week, go with me to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 33. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 33. Surely the churning of milk brings forth butter, and the wringing of the nose brings forth blood. So the forcing of rod brings forth strife. Now go with me now to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 22. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 22. what are these three measures of milk, butter, and honey? Give it to you quickly. And it shall come to pass for the abundance of milk that they shall give, ye shall eat butter. For butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. Can't emphasize on that. Go with me now, Isaiah now. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 15. Butter and honey shall ye eat, that ye may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Notice, them that are on milk cannot refuse the evil and choose good. Why? Because they are unconverted, because they are a babe, right? And they are unskillful in the word of righteousness. Let me show you now. Go with me now to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of what? Righteousness, for he is a babe. So who are babes in Christ? Remember now, for everyone that uses what? Milk. He is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a what? A babe. So a babe in Christ, they are unskillful in the what? Word of righteousness. That means they are not developed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who is the hope of glory. So that's why now the babe in Christ, that's why you now do Bible study. So your faith can increase. So now you can start to practice what you are reading, practice that what you are hearing, and it become part of you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. What are these three measures of milk, butter, and honey? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Pause. So what is the desire of a newborn babe? They have a desire for the what? The word. And they want to what? Grow thereby. So if they want to grow thereby, that means they are what? They are unskillful. So you have to train a babe, teach them how to eat and all of these things, right? As newborn babes, desire what? The sincere milk of the word of God, that ye may grow what? Thereby. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. because we need to be on meat, not milk. So some of us are still on milk. But the Bible says, for when's the time ye ought to be teachers? So God called you and I, Seventh-day Adventists, to be what? Teachers. Why? Psalms chapter 51, verse 13. Then shall I teach transgressor thy ways. Pause. What the Bible just says, for when's the time ye ought to be what? Teachers. You and I are supposed to be teaching those who are what? Transgressor of the law. Because they say the fourth commandment is what? Do away with. So now you see that you are called, great light is shining upon you and I to what? To become teachers. Not to be puffed up with knowledge and all of these things and deny the power. No. To be a humble servant of Christ that he can use you in due season. For when the time ye have to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracle of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. When the time ye are to become what? Teachers. You need someone to what? To teach you again. Let me show you what this quotation says. Let us compare this quotation. When the time you are to become teachers, you need someone to what? Teach you again. You need someone to teach you the doctrine and the faith of the teaching of this movement. Listen to what this quotation said. Spiritual gifts, chapter 10, volume 1, page 75. Give you everything so you're easy to find. Spiritual gifts, chapter 10, volume 1, page 75. Listen to this now. I saw that those who had no experience in the first angel messages must receive them from those who had an experience and followed down through these messages. Pause. So who are we going to receive these three, the first, second, and third angel message? The seasoned Christians, the seasoned Seventh-day Adventists, who have a relationship with Jesus, who have the people's soul at heart. They don't want to be seen or to be lifted up. I have a name. No, they want Jesus to be uplifted and his word to be uplifted. They want to bring hope to them through his word. Listen what the quotation said again. I saw that those who had no experience in what? The first and second angel messages must receive them from those who had an experience and followed down through the messages. Watch it right here. Let me give you a quotation. Look up God powerful. Go with me to Genesis. We're going to compare this quotation with the Bible. Sister White said we must not read our quotation until we're familiar with the Bible. Mercy. Listen now. I'm going to read some verses, and I'm going to show you what this quotation is just in agreement with the Bible. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. Because you just said the first and second angel message. So those who just come into this message, they must receive this message from those who have an experience in first and second angel messages, right? Listen now. These two angels just visit Lot. And these angels going to give Lot a message, and Lot going to relate the message to his children. Watch this right here. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot seeing them rose up to meet them and bowed himself with his face towards the ground. I just read this verse one right here. How many angels come to Lot? Two angels. This is a revelation right here. And they came two angels at Sodom at even, right? Go with me now to verse 12. Go with me to verse 12. We're going to read about this quotation, but we want to read the verse to let this verse be qualified and to see this quotation is in harmony with the word of God. Verse 12. And the man said unto Lot, who is this man? The first and second angel, right? Hast thou here any beside, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in this city, bring them out of this place. So the first and second angel message is what? Calling people out of what? Babylon, out of the city. Mercy. Verse 13, for we will destroy this place. Pause. For we will what? Go. Compare Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and 7. For I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel unto who? Them. So now this angel coming to Lot to preach to him, right? And Lot going to receive this message. And Lot now have to relate back this message that he just learned. He just have an experience with these two angels. So he must share this message to his children. Watch this right here. 4, I saw another what? Angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to what? Preach unto them that what? Dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with our Lord voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Bombs. For the hour of his judgment is come, mean destruction, trouble, pain, sorrow. Watch this right here now. Come back now. Genesis chapter 19, verse 13. For we will destroy this place. For the judgment of God is come. For we will destroy this place. Just clarify. Mercy, God is very powerful, friend. For we will destroy this place because, why? The cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Pause. Go with me now. Keep a finger. Watch this right here, friends. Go with me. Can we are dealing with type and anti-type. The three angel messages are hidden in three measures of me. Go with me to Revelation. We're going to look at the third angel. Third angel message is really mentioned, but it's hidden. These are hidden revelations. Verse 9, Revelation chapter 14, verse 9. Keep a finger at Genesis now, chapter 19. We're going to come back to verse 13 and 14. All right? Let us compare. Use the scripture. And there follow another angel saying, Babylon is falling, that great city. Pause. Is God going to destroy this city? Meaning this city going to what? Fall into ashes on the fire, right? Watch your revelation now, friends. Put on your eyesight now. And there follow another angel saying, Babylon is what? Falling, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So everyone who drink of this wine and they are full, listen to what God is going to say now. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be what? Tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel and the presence of the Lamb. Pause. The presence, because remember now, the people in the city, they do not know what is going on. Abraham is a type of Jesus. Abraham was praying, and Jesus and Abraham looking from afar out on the city. While these two angels, while this message, God send the messengers to the city. And while this going on, watch it right here. This is a central message in type two. It's a lot of revelation right here. That's another sermon right there. While Abraham on the mount with Jesus, what Abraham was doing, Abraham was saying, Lord, if it was 50, will you destroy it? Got to know. And he coming down. It's a pre-adventure meal, Lord. Do not get hungry. If it was 10, will you destroy it, Lord? And the Bible says when Abraham stopped communing with God, then Abraham went to his tent. Pause. I want you to stop. Listen, friends. When Jesus stopped communion, mercy, when Jesus stopped intercede on man's behalf, when he stand up and put on the robe of vengeance, friends, then the seven last plague going to start to fall. Because while Abraham on the mountain with Jesus looking down in the city, Abraham was begging for the city, the five cities. Lord, if it was 50, Lord, will you destroy it? God, will you destroy the wicked and the righteous? God said no. But when Abraham finished, stopped praying, Abraham went away. When Jesus stand up, then, because right now Jesus is holding the seven last plagues. Jesus is holding back the wrath of God. Why? Because Jesus is saying, Father, one more year, Lord. Wait. While the holy angel, the four angel about to let loose, Jesus sent an angel and said, hold, until we have sealed, until I go back down, until I visit them in dreams and visions, until I go down and dig and down among them and cast them, even as to cast them into accident to say their parish hold. Jesus is saying that, hold, when the Father said, cut them down, Jesus said, Father, my blood, Lord, remember Advent line, Lord, those who come on Advent line, Lord, remember my blood, Father, and Father, God the Father accepted. Can you imagine Jesus interceding on your and I behalf right now, and you and I delaying the Savior? Abraham was delaying Jesus from not to fall the seven last plague on Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus is delaying the Father from not calling, bringing down the seven last plague. Jesus is delaying the Father until the Father have his faithful view. Jesus is delaying his Father because he said, Father, they are not ready. My people, they are not ready, Lord. They come to know me. They gather together and sing beautiful songs and testimony and all the things that I have done for them throughout the week. But Lord, their heart is far away from me. Even though they are backslider, they are ungrateful, they do not appreciate it, my love. They do not appreciate the light that I put in their lungs. They do not appreciate the roof that I give them over their head. They are not appreciating the job that I give them to go back and forth. This is what your Savior is doing for you in heaven. Friend, Jesus is coming. Lord, have mercy. These two angels going to Sodom and Gomorrah. Go back with me now. Time is running out. Go back with me now. I'm getting too excited. Let me calm down. Friends, the word of God is so sweet. While I'm talking to you, God was giving me words, friends. Sometimes I don't know where these words come from. But I said, Lord, touch my lips. Time is speak to your people. Friends, I love you. That's why I speak like this. I say, Lord, why are you calling me? I don't want to be no wishy-washy leader. I want to be true and bold and to stand up for you and to call your people out of darkness into this marvelous light. Just give me the little light, Lord. Give me the little light. Friend, Jesus loves you. He don't want to cause you to be a cast away in these last days. No, he loves you. Go back with me now, Genesis chapter 19, verse 13 and 14. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord had sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out. Now, remember now, God, the two angels just gave Lot what? The message. And Lot going to relate back the message to his what? His family. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which marry his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seems as one that mocked unto his sons in law. Friends, we cannot tarry with these messages. We can't linger. God's people need to hear this message. Verse 16. Genesis chapter 19, verse 16. And while we linger, while we are linger to give this message, while we are linger to study, while we are linger with other things and preoccupied with other things, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful. So when Jesus stand up, there will be no more mercy. Listen what he say. And upon his two daughters, the Lord being what? Merciful unto him. The Lord is being merciful unto Advent Line today. The Lord is being merciful unto you, first time listener. The Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Because we are told that God is going to destroy this wicked city. Please come out of it. Get out of the city. Now, Jesus revealed these messages to the majority. And they have so much, but no time is again for us. Let me give you one more thing. Now, why the Lord speak in parables in his disciples' days? Why? Because this message that we are talking about now, to the other hearers, those who are outside of our faith, these are parables. They don't know what you are saying. What are you saying? What are you talking about? Go with me now, Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Listen to what the Bible says. Matthew 13, verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them. Who he talking about regarding the majority? The kingdom of heaven is like unto what? Leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal. We just read that in Genesis, right? With Abraham and Sarah, right? The kingdom of heaven is like unto what? Leaven, which a woman what? Took and hid in three measures of meal. The scriptures, they are like hidden treasure. We have to dig and to find these truths, these hidden truths, and hid them in 3 measures of me till the whole was leavened. Right? So who is this woman? The woman represents a church, right? We know that in Jeremiah chapter 2, no, chapter 6, verse 2, and Isaiah chapter 51, verse 16. Now, read verse 10 with me now. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 and 11. The disciples are going to ask a question. Because the Bible says, another parable he spake unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. So the disciples, they are concerned. Why you speak unto them in parables? This is what the Bible said. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because Seventh-day Adventist, because Advent life, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not. So who God give this message, this hidden message to? You and I. Because the majority of the world, it is not given unto them. You see the responsibility that we have all up on our head? So what is a parable? A simple story to illustrate a moral or a spiritual lesson. Friends, we have such a beautiful message. Let us take heed unto it. Read verse 30, Matthew chapter 33 now. Chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 33 to 35. Let us read this one. Let me read it again. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. Who Jesus speak parables to? The multitudes. And without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. Listen to what Jesus said now. Your master is speaking. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Are you hearing this, friends? Brothers and sisters, Seventh-day Adventists, you are privileged to have such a message. You are privileged to hear these messages falling on your ears. Because Jesus is saying to his disciples, many of these prophets, they search and they wish to hear these words that you want to hear, but they never hear it. But you, Seventh-day Adventists, you, Advent Line, like brothers and sisters, you are privileged to hear these messages. Messages, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? We are told, I saw that those who had no experience in the first, second, and third angel message must receive them from those who had an experience and followed on through these messages. Listen now, this is crucial. As Jesus was crucified, so I saw that these messages have been crucified by Seventh-day Adventists. Let me read that again. You don't get that. As Jesus was crucified, so I saw that these messages, what messages? First, second, and third angel message. Brothers and sisters, we hate this. We are so ashamed of our message. We shoot down the 3 angels. Now the 3 angels, they don't have no wings. Now we have a 3 wavy line. Where did these 3 wavy line come from? We are ashamed of who we are. We are ashamed of our message. We are ashamed of where God has brought us from. We don't want the 3 angels. We shoot them down. We remove them from among us. That's an uncruel thing, an hateful bird coming in our church. And then we say we are present truth. As Jesus was crucified, so I saw that these messages have been crucified. And as the disciples declared that there was no salvation in other name under heaven given among men, so also should the servants of God fearfully and fearlessly declare that those who embrace but part of the truth connect with the third angel message must gladly embrace the first, the second, and the third angel message God has given them. If we do not want that, if we want to only preach third angel, if we want only to preach second and third angel, listen what the council says, or have no part in the matter. So we must give these messages in their what? Order. And we come to a close, friend. Sister Carla, hope in the line. I know somebody wants to say, Lord, I hear your voice. I'm being running from you, Lord. I'm walking with you, oh Lord. I realize that I'm far away from you. Is there anyone saying, I want to renew my covenant? Is there anyone saying, Lord, receive me back to yourself? Is anyone want to say, Lord, I have fallen from my first love? You ain't got to say your name. Just say a prayer for me. We will pray. Is there anyone out there? Is anyone on the prayer line? Heaven is listening. Angel is recording, taking notes. Please not let the angel fly away with an empty note pad. Who is it? Is there anyone? I want someone to pray for me. I see my need. Well, let us pray. Let me give over to the woman of God. Father in heaven, people they are saying silently, Lord, please touch me. Please entangle my heart to fall in love with you. Lord, many of us, we've fallen from our first love. Please do not let my fire, my burning, go out for you. Please do not let us have a form of godliness, but deny the power. And you say, from such we must turn away. Lord, please do not let your Holy Spirit turn away from us. If we have grieved your Holy Spirit, oh God, please, we are so sorry. We are a backsliding people, oh God. We are so weak and feeble. We are messed up, even though our own head sick, Lord, at times. But Lord, we are asking for a conversion. Convert our thought. Convert our words. Convert our taste. Convert our life, oh God, in these last days. We want to see you. Lord Jesus, your people want to see you. We are longing for you, oh God. But sometimes the sin in our own life, Lord, shows that we are disqualified. But Lord, you are a sympathizing Savior. You say if we confess, you are faithful, oh God. Lord, please do not let us doubt. Do not let us doubt your promise. Do not let us doubt your word, my boy. As we are about to depart from the phone and go our separate ways, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit, we pray that your presence, we pray that your holy angel will not depart from us. Please, let us not grieve away your Holy Spirit no more. Let us not grieve you anymore, oh God. Save us, we pray. Save our children. Save our loved ones. Save everyone who on this prayer line. You know their needs. Please meet us our specific need at this moment. But more than so, Lord, cause us to have a love and a burden for your word and a burden for souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Ricardo. We know the Holy Spirit has truly been with us and God has touched you to present this message. And brothers and sisters, didn't your heart burn within as you listened to the message and said, Lord, is it I? Is it I? And I was impressed to turn to Isaiah chapter 6, starting at verse 5. It says, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man, I'm a woman of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, saying, and he having a live coal in his hand. Mercy. And you know, we have to be encouraged because he was touched with the live coal from off the altar. And that's the same thing God wants to do with us, brothers and sisters. I'll jump to verse 7. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. And we need our sins and our iniquity to be taken away and be purged. Amen. So we all need to seek the Lord. We all need to afflict our soul. We all need to go in our secret closet and pray and ask the Lord to forgive us, for us to repent from our sinful ways and practice. from our thoughts, even, you know, it's even corrupt. May the Lord truly bless us and help us as we go to our secret closet. We go and we pray and we intercede on our behalf and our children and ourselves, as Brother Ricardo is asking for prayer. I'm impressed to pray, brothers and sisters. Kind and loving Father, I ask that you will help us, O Lord. I ask that you will forgive us of our sins. I ask that you will touch Brother Ricardo, Father. He wants to finish the work. He wants to do the work that you have called him to do, O Father. Help him, O Father. You said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Lord. We need rest from our sins, rest from burdens, rest from pain, rest from the toil of this earth, O Father, cares of this earth, Lord. Help us to keep our mind upon you, Lord. Help us to know that our treasure is in heaven, Lord. Touch his lips, touch his body, touch his home, Lord. Touch his wife, Lord. Touch the ministry that they have. Oh, Lord, help him to know that you have called him and have chosen him and set him apart for this work, O Lord, to cry aloud and spare not. And lift up his voice as a trumpet. Each and every one of us, we have a job to do. Lord, help us, Lord. Help me, Lord. Have mercy upon me, O kind and loving Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters. I pray that you will have a good night. Blessed Sabbath to each and every one of you. Amen. And I will play this song. May the Lord bless you. Amen. Thank you again, brothers and sisters. Please join us again. May the Lord truly bless you. Jesus loves you. Have a good night. Thank you.